This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
I got like one stray hair in my beard that keeps like popping up, sticking out one side. And every time I look down, it's just like pointed out, and I keep trying to tuck it back into the greater part of the beard in hopes that it won't come out.
I think you need a bobby pin.
Bobby pin.
I need a captain pin.
There's a new barber in town.
There is?
Yeah.
Do they take crypto?
I actually asked him that because he was standing out there while his new sign was being put up.
What about Goldbacks?
I didn't. Yeah. You know, I bet he would because he had a giant gold chain.
He's
all about he's that gold.
Yeah. It is Free Talk Live. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. In the studio tonight, it's myself, the Reverend Captain Kickass. Joining me,
Jay Noon
and Joa.
We have been talking about all sorts of fun stuff, about government, about DCYF, about child protection services, about due process, about how government seems to incentivize the worst things. We've talked about
this particular government
office.
Anyways.
Well, right. And all that kind of stuff. So if you want to opine on that, you can. Or you can bring up whatever's on your mind. Let's go to some of your calls and thoughts right now. I believe this is Ricky from the Commonwealth. Ricky, you're on Free Talk Live.
Thank you there, Brother Captain. Brother Jay. Brother Joe, it's been a while. Good evening.
How are you?
It's on your mind, Ricky.
I'm doing this. Well, tonight's a special night, and I'm glad Brother Jay's on. And I want him to help me at first for all the listeners. See, I'm wearing something very special tonight. I got my package today, and I got my – well, I'll talk about that a little bit, but I got my special battle flag. Now, Brother Jay, if you could do Ricky from the Commonwealth a favor, I'd really appreciate it. If you could tell all the listeners just a little bit about – the battle flag of North Virginia Army, the one that's square with a border, and kind of tell them a little bit about it and describe it to
them. Before he does, I just want to know, Ricky, are you wearing it, like, tied around, like, your neck, like a cape or something? Are you, like, super
even,
Ricky
even
with the battle flag?
Even better. See, I wore the wrong one like so many do, the 3x5. This is a 3-foot by 3-foot square. And what I do is I have the two ends, the grommets, they're on my pectoral muscles with double face tape. I'm wearing now. It comes down to my waist.
On your nipple rings?
Okay. A little bit. No, I don't have nipple rings, but that's all right. People do. You know, if it's right above that, though, and it comes down to my waist.
I'm envisioning all this right now.
All right. Let's let Jay answer your question.
Sorry to disappoint you. I don't know really anything about this Virginia square flag. I know the Virginia Constitution is really good. It's got pretty great stuff in it, but I'm sorry, Ricky.
Well, maybe I better describe it.
There you go.
See, everybody does have the wrong one, which is a rectangle flag with the elongated cross. And now here's the differences. The battle flag in North Virginia Army, this was the one that was not officially adopted, but was by 1863, for all intents and purposes, the flag of the Confederacy. This is 3x3 feet exactly square. It's got a border around it, maybe, I don't know, about an inch. Now, of course, you have the elongated cross, which look a little different because it's square. Now, you have the stripes along each side of the cross. Then you have the stars. But then the most important thing is the shade of red, but most importantly is the shade of blue. See, because the Navy flag had like a royal blue. The best one I could describe this is...
What did it represent again? What was it representing?
The battle flag of North Virginia Army. This was the flag of the Confederacy.
Now,
so I was just representing where the battlefield was? The battle flag? I'm not sure.
That was General Lee's army there, Brother Joe. That was the flag of the Confederacy. This is the one the flag bearer carried in battle. This is the one people had in the 1860s, not the other one. That was of the Navy. Now, my particular one, see, the one I had in 17, that was
I hear you saying.
Flag.
I hear you saying.
Like, that was a $26 flag. This had to be hand-sewn and put together in pieces.
Right, right.
Okay, this is a $356 flag. Now,
how much did you pay for this?
$356 flag.
Oh.
I had a hell of a time finding
is this the flag on top of the General Lee of the Dukes of Hazzard?
Correct. That's the only place you
That's
ever
all you had
seen.
To say.
This is the war. There you go.
I looked it up, and I can see how there's hand-sewn ones, and they're not all like exactly the same, and which is fine. And that shows what you're saying is that people would just make them themselves and then, you know, fly it.
So
and
now this was professionally put together, though.
Sure. Oh, I do have a question, though, Ricky, and take a second to think about it when I ask this.
Certainly.
What is the purpose of a flag?
I will tell you. See, as I've said before, this time I'm making an official campaign promise. If elected in 2026, it's not going to be me. It will be we. I'm just the vessel. But I will see to it that the U.S. Constitution blown away and Pennsylvania become the Confederate Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Now, the purpose of the flag.
So you're a secessionist, is what you're saying?
I'm beyond that. Okay, but the point is, when it comes to answer your question, if I may, Captain, see, unlike the Stars and Stripes, there's not one damn thing good about that flag. I hate that flag. See, this flag, on the other hand, see, there is something good about this flag. See, these people were fighting for their land. The land is what it was all about. You know, and this flag represented hope, you know. And ever since then, you know, you had other individuals like the Klan briefly and then the Dixiecrats. But see, I'm actually using it for the right reason.
But wait, didn't the Europeans come in and basically take the land from the Native Americans?
Huh?
Under that flag, though?
Under any flag, really.
Well, a good point. Under any flag. But I do like what you're saying, though, is that I'm all about the idea of bringing back the origins of symbols to the purpose, right? Like,
see,
just like the swastika has been tainted, right? Like, I mean, that's an extreme example, but I'm not saying I'm going to put the swastika, you know, on my bumper.
Please don't.
Like,
no, here's the example. In 1864, November 1864, exactly, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania came so close to blowing it away, you can't get any closer. But you know what? It was a last-minute decision. They chose not. And I'm glad they did, because I probably wouldn't have been born. But see, it was the right answer, just the wrong time. It's the right time now.
Okay.
All right.
Good
luck with that.
This flag.
Yeah. I hope that works, whatever that symbolism does for you.
I just, you know, while I was sitting here, I looked up a purpose of a flag. It says flags originally were used mainly in warfare, and to some extent they have remained insignia. This says of leadership, I'm going to say of statism, serving for the identification of friend or foe and as rallying points. They are now also extensively employed for signaling, for decoration, and for display. So, outside of statism, right, you know, you're going to see dudes holding flags at, like, the airport to direct traffic, stuff like that. You're going to see people, you know, probably displaying some sort of flag, you know, of a nation. I guess that's still statism when they're, like, on a boat in the water, that kind of a thing. I guess that's still statism. But as far as statism is concerned, flags are gang colors.
And it's also a way to virtue signal.
Right. Well, they do mention signaling. Hang on, Ricky. They do mention signaling, but they don't specifically call it virtue signaling. So I don't know if that's wrapped up in what they say about signaling or if it's
something
different.
I don't know.
Well, that makes sense because, like, when police turn their lights on, it's like them raising the Jolly Roger.
See, here's the thing. See, Ricky from the Commonwealth, wear this flag. What this battle flag means. See, the state, all that is a strong arm extension of the federal government. And I plan on blowing both away. Down with the eagle, up with the cross. Long live the Confederacy.
Well, the definition of state in New Hampshire, statutory construction manuals, was Article 4, Section 21, defines state as being the United States, which is, and the District of Columbia, territories and possessions. So when he says that the state is just an extension of the federal government, he's exactly correct.
Okay.
I don't want a symbol representing an ideology. I want the ideology to be naturally occurring and just like kind of expressed versus like, I believe in this and this represents all these things. And it's like, oh, what if they just tear down your symbol?
Right.
You're all offended now.
I keep thinking about George Carlin's bit about the flags. He's like, flags are symbols and I leave symbols to the symbol-minded. first of all, can you just picture, now I don't think I've ever seen a picture of Ricky from the Commonwealth, but can you imagine that guy, like, I don't know, hanging out on his front porch, wearing this flag on his back, right, you know, I don't know, he's probably got a scroll in his hand, or, I mean, I just have this, like, bizarre vision in my head of Ricky being what most folks would probably drive by and go, oh, there's crazy Ricky again.
So Ricky brought up Virginia. I believe Virginia is a Commonwealth also.
Yes.
And I'd like to read a little spot from the Virginia Constitution.
All right, can you just explain for the lay people, what's the difference between a Commonwealth and, well, not one?
You know, I'm not 100% sure, actually.
Me either.
I'm really not. I know Massachusetts is a Commonwealth. There's something about these states were sort of given, like, preferential. I think that they were deemed as Commonwealths before they started coming up with states. Because Maine, and I could be a little wrong about this.
So another way to sort of describe the geography of where they ruled?
It's more of describing a political, you know, subdivision or something, maybe. But
it sounds like socialism, Commonwealth.
Right. It's like you're all acting together for everybody's benefit.
Yeah. So I know one of the elements of a Commonwealth is like, oh, if you injured somebody or you cause someone damage and they don't want to bring a charge against you, the Commonwealth is going to do it anyways, which is morphed into, if you've offended somebody, committed an offense, because, you know, so many of these, particular statutes are referred to as offenses, but I'm not 100% sure the difference between a Commonwealth and a
Wikipedia, real quick, just has a Commonwealth is a traditional English term for a political community founded for the common good. The noun Commonwealth, meaning public welfare, general good, or advantage, dates from the 15th century. So that's the
that sounds right. The
long and the short of it.
So Virginia Constitution, Article 1, Section 15, qualities necessary to preservation of a free government. So the Virginia Constitution says free government. That no free government nor the blessings of liberty can be preserved to any people but by a firm adherence to justice, moderation, temperance, frugality, and virtue. By frequent reoccurrences to fundamental principles and by the recognition by all citizens that have duties as well as rights. And such rights cannot be enjoyed in a society, save in a society where law is respected and due process is observed. So, you know, government's supposed to be frugal. Government's supposed to be moderate. And we have all of these examples where government is extremely wasteful. And this is basically the last paragraph of this affidavit I've been talking about where they, you know, reference the Virginia Constitution and how free government ought to operate.
Interesting. Before we go on, I do want to mention Free Talk Live. You guys, I wasn't even aware. We have a TikTok. Now,
wow.
Yeah, it seems to be a thing that, like, the younger folks, younger than me anyway, I've been into. I never really got into TikTok. I, you know, never really joined it.
Even looked at it.
I occasionally see videos, you know, that are on TikTok posted to other social media like Twitter or whatever, right, where people will share them. But Free Talk Live does have a TikTok. It's tiktok.com/@freetalklive. So if you want to check out some Free Talk Live videos, you can find them there. It's just something that we wanted to mention, make sure all of our folks who are listening are aware that we are on TikTok. So if you're there, visit TikTok.com/freetalk.
Oh, I can see it right here. It looks very nice. Again, some good views.
Yeah.
Getting a following.
I was surprised that we had one, so I just want to make sure that we mention it.
Yeah, you definitely go on there right now. You got some time? Do it right now. Go. Boom. And then you're like, oh, wow, these little clips are pretty funny.
Anything else about the Virginia Constitution?
Nope, that's okay.
I want to segue here. Segue! Neck breaker! That's right. Prepare yourself for the non-segue segue.
I got whiplash.
There's a couple of things I want to talk about. Let's talk about library, LBRY.
Oh.
It's such a sad thing to have to talk about, but Odyssey has posted the end of Library, Inc., LBRY. Longtime listeners of Free Talk Live will know that Library was trying to be a competitor to YouTube with more freedom. Right, whereas YouTube is full of censorship and, you know, strikes and, you know, canceling people and all that kind of stuff. Library attempted to be that which YouTube is not. And they ran into some problems with the man, of course.
Can I read it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
No, it wasn't a man. It was a statutory creature.
No,
it is very far from being a man. We are men.
The man, right, is, you know, the euphemism for government.
Yeah, that's got to stop because government is not a man.
What do you call it, a statutory creature?
It's a statutory creature, just like DCYF is a statutory creature, like I was reasoning.
Is it really a creature, though?
Yes, and that is what it is. Yeah, it's
certainly a beast.
It's a creation of the legislature. So the Securities and Exchange Commission is who came against LBRY.
Right.
And they are a creation of essentially the legislative branch. So the whole purpose of the legislature, far as I can tell, is to regulate executive creatures. The creations of the executive branch.
I'm just having a hard time with the word creature because creatures to me are physical beings, whereas legislation is all inside of our heads.
Well, yeah, it's a two-dimensional entity is what I've called it because it's just words on paper.
Right.
That's all it is. But yeah, they refer to them as statutory creatures in law.
Okay, so that's a legal term?
Creatures.
All right.
I think that's how...
Don't anyways. Fight the man, be the man.
Yeah, definitely. Be man at least.
Well, I don't think that's just not really. I think we're about to talk about just the opposite here, but this is the end of Library, Inc. Let me read this here. Library, Inc. must die. There's no escaping this. It has lost a judgment to the federal government. I know I was there. I went to that court. Has several $1 million in debts and has pledged to shut down. This will be our last post. And then they show a little thumbnail, a little movie screen clip of Obi-Wan Kenobi. You can't win, you pathetic life form. If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you can possibly imagine. And yeah, and Jeremy is going to be starting new ventures, so he's not done.
It's Jeremy Kauf.
That's right, Jeremy Kauf.
Founder of the Library and Odyssey.
And, you know, they go on to what's happening with Library. And I read this earlier, but I think in a nutshell, what they're saying is it's going to exist as long as there's people mining to keep the blockchain alive. And I think there's enough out there. Actually, this may, because it's out of Odyssey and Library's control, well, not Odyssey really, but Library's control, it almost like lays it on the people for, say that, you know, this method to exist. And I think that's the way it should be, just like how the government should get out of libraries. You know, like, we should have more private libraries everywhere. I'm just making a pun with that, but it's the same concept, you know, privatization and government not be able to reach into and censor. And
all the modern day, you know, online libraries are essentially censored, heavily censored.
Well, yeah.
And their digital burning of information is essentially what it is.
So apparently I'm wrong, and I just want to dwell on maybe the first paragraph.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So of course the SEC got involved, but it says all assets, including Odyssey, are being placed into receivership. As of this post, all library executives, employees, and board members have resigned. All will be doing what is required to satisfy any outstanding legal requirements, but no more than that. of course, why else would, I mean, why would you do anything more than what's required? What is happening to the library network? Fortunately, LBRY isn't our network. It's a decentralized network, and all of the code powering it is open source, which I find interesting, and I actually applaud that, because that means any industrious person, persons, anonymous or otherwise, can go and copy this code and make it into something that, in theory, governments can't touch, a decentralized autonomous organization of sorts. If you will.
And if you don't know what open source is and how that's important, is that this is something that you could learn how to code, not, and you can look at their code and decipher how they built this, how they built their websites, and how they built this blockchain technology, and then you can change and alter it and update it the way you see fit, because it's open source. You can
They didn't
hide anything, you know.
To where, like, the source on YouTube, I doubt, is open.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't go look and see what the YouTube algorithm's doing and what it's pushing.
No.
So you can do all this stuff on LBRY, which, you know, makes it really transparent. And, you know, because, you know, YouTube and Twitter and all these guys, they do, you know, shadow banning and, you know, stuff like that. And it's just like with the voting machines. The voting machines have this software that you cannot look up.
Not open source.
And Congress can't even look at it. Election committees can't even look at it because it's proprietary, private software of a for-profit corporation, yep, like Diebold or something. And these voting machines is ridiculous. They have a ticker printer on them, and when you put your ballot in there, it should spit you out a little receipt like an ATM machine. And all you got to do is program it to do it, and hey, you know who you just voted for in a ballot. If it spit you out a receipt, you voted for this, it would be really hard for them to cheat. But, you know, and like the idea that the software, and that's another thing that's, you know, in committee here, and they're using this affidavit process for here in New Hampshire, is a whole other affidavit about the voting machines,
right,
getting rid of the voting machines. And this David Jose Network is, they're working on that in Arizona and a whole bunch of other states on getting rid of the electronic voting machines, because they're, unless there was open source blockchain chain technology, you can't verify anything, and you can't trust those evil people behind these corporations.
I went to the State House with Chris Wade, Penguin, we know.
Yep.
And he testified for the state to use, I mean, I don't really want the state to do anything, but testify the state to use open source, you know, software.
Yeah, yeah.
Because using the open source stuff, you don't have to worry about some other agency and private corporation reading into all the sensitive materials, perhaps, and or just having their fingers in it to control it. And that way, you know, the open source, it maybe have a little bit of a learning curve, and it's not just handed to you.
Good point, because blockchain technology, if nothing else,
yeah,
is honest.
Exactly.
Right? It can't not be honest. Right. If it's open
source,
open,
built,
decentralized, right, all of the qualities that make it a blockchain. And in fact, Library goes on to say what's happening with the Library network. Well, it says, fortunately, Library isn't our network. It's a decentralized network.
Correct.
All code is open source. But it will only work if enough people continue to use it. So
right,
who knows? It's not like they're library experts.
This should spawn a movement for people to use Library. And I encourage everyone up there to go do that. Maybe I should use it more, too. But I at least use Odyssey.
603-283-6160. More Free Talk Live, including your calls and thoughts, is coming up.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight? At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. President Biden just addressed the nation from the Oval Office, covering the conflicts with Israel and Ukraine in relation to U.S. national security.
The State Department has issued a warning advising Americans abroad to exercise increased caution. According to spokesman Matt Miller, the advisory issued today points to
the potential for terrorist attacks, demonstrations, or violent actions against U.S. citizens and interests.
This advisory comes in the midst of escalating tensions between Israel and the Palestinian militant group Hamas. The proposal to authorize Interim Speaker Patrick Henry to assume the role until January is facing resistance. Ohio Congressman Jim Jordan informed reporters this afternoon that Republican members have opted not to vote on a resolution to grant McHenry this authority. Jordan has affirmed his continued candidacy for the speaker position. Dave Collins, USA News.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
We don't do that on any other day, Joe. I know you're excited, but you'll have to just save it for the next time you guest on a Sunday.
And we're back!
Oh, man. I had you muted and everything. I thought it was safe. You usurped my ability as an audio engineer to keep you muted. It is Free Talk Live. The telephone number here is 603-283-6160. Again, 603-283-6160. You can call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. In the studio, it's myself, the captain.
Jay Noon.
And Joe.
Before we go on, this hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. Dash has transaction fees that are less than 1 cent. Dash transactions are instant, irreversible, and protected from 51% attacks by its chain locks technology. Dash is the world's first decentralized autonomous organization. That means no one can ever take it down by targeting any sort of a centralized thing. There's no office where all the Dash employees like work or whatever. There's no one person in charge of it.
There's no people dashing around.
It lives, you know, of its own accord. As long as the network exists, Dash exists. BitRefill allows for discounted purchases using Dash at all sorts of national retailers. And Spritz.finance also allows for bill pay. And if you need some USD, it'll figure out how to do that for you as well. So thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org to learn more about Dash today. That's Dash.org. All right. We are going to go to this caller. It's Mr. David Ridley of the RidleyReport.com. Oh. Or is it RidleyReport.com?
Or is it Gandhi?
Yeah, if you type the, you're going to go nowhere.
So RidleyReport.com. Dave Ridley, everybody. Welcome.
Yeah. Well, coincidentally, I was already planning on calling in about Jeremy Kaufman tonight.
Okay, so for those listeners who don't know, in the previous segment, we were talking about LBRY, also pronounced library, and it has made a post basically asking, is this the end of library? And we started to get into that, but Jeremy Kaufman is the founder of Library and Odyssey. So, Mr. Ridley, what did you want to talk about?
Well, I guess he must be the rogue of the hour. If we're both talking about it, but I was calling him for different reasons, and then I finally got around to listening to the hearing that they held for him for the Free State Project when they kicked him off the board.
Oh right, I have not watched that.
Oh man, that was
I watched 30 seconds of it, and I'm like, okay, I've had enough of this.
Yeah,
it was not appealing.
That was enough.
I was like, I'm not. This isn't going to entertain me. It'll only frustrate me, and I've got better things to do with my life. But go ahead,
Dave's got a summary, I hope.
Well, yeah, like one guy once said, I read Bill Gates' book, so you don't have to. But I actually found it pretty interesting. And both Jeremy and one of the members on the board that voted to can him, both of them have been advertisers on the Ridley Report, or they've donated money to the Ridley Report. So I guess I'm maybe a little bit non-biased, and I didn't really care. I really don't care much what happens on the Free State board. But watching this was interesting. What was most interesting was that everyone seemed to – well, not everyone. It seemed like mainly Jeremy and Carla wanted to just yell over each other at the whole time. It seemed like they were interrupting each other a lot. Hardly anyone else did any talking. Jason Sorens did some talking, who's the founder of the Free State Project. But you know him, he's kind of got that Harry Potter vibe. But what was interesting was they accused him of... I'm still kind of not even... they were accusing him of something, but it was just so vague. It was like, you yelled at someone at Pork Fest during American Idol, and you said things we don't like, but they didn't quote anything that he said.
You're a loser. That's what Jeremy said to some guy. It wasn't really nice, but you know, that's what happened on that.
Or are we talking about at Pork Fest?
Now, he apologized for it. But again, he seemed to be doing almost half the talking. He was definitely doing the plurality of the talking, but it felt more like half.
Well, you're and on the fence, you know, I felt. You know, he was a little bit, you know.
But some of the things that they accused him of were really what was telling to me, and that was disturbing that this would even be considered an accusation. So I have some quotes here. Carla Garrick says, quote, "You told me you would not obey," unquote.
I mean, how is that not just like part of being the Free State Project, right?
Is he even libertarian?
Jeremy also, you know, said something that was a little bit disturbing. Jason accused Jeremy of defending apartheid in a post, which of course he didn't quote. So what does that mean, defending apartheid? Did you even say which apartheid are they talking about, right? The one in Israel or the one in South Africa?
Or the one in America, anymore. Right,
and,
yeah.
But then he told Jason after this accusation, instead of just quoting himself or demanding a quote, he tells Jason to, quote, shut the F-bomb up, quote. But he didn't say F-bomb. He said the F-bomb, right?
I'm sure, yeah.
So that was kind of rude. And here's another quote that stood out to me. This was from Carla. Quote, she's saying to Jeremy, quote, "You did not follow corporate etiquette." Unquote.
Corporate etiquette.
Well, all right. So I remember watching this, but wasn't it really about money? Wasn't it about money?
They talked about that.
Sorens admitted
that
it was about.
They were pretty open about that.
Yeah, well, that's also why they kicked Ian out, uninvited Ian, let's say, a few years back. It was because there was a donor that was donating an S ton of money to the Free State Project, who's basically like, "I'm not going to donate. You're going to lose me unless you get rid of them."
That's crazy.
And
because
that's why they got. That's the only reason. From what I understand,
that
but you're not
going to
find that in any minutes or recordings anywhere.
Right.
And what you're saying there and what just happened is like really just proven that it's up for bid. Free State Project, if you want to be controlled by some donor.
Like the Koch brothers.
The Koch brothers just come in. Hey, this Free State Project, well, we're going to make this a little bit more conservative, aren't we?
I'm still waiting. The callers, multiple, at least two, have accused Free Talk Live of being funded by the Koch brothers, and I'm just saying that, like, they have bad accounting because I have not received my check.
I thought you were going to say baggy.
The Koch brothers.
10 years ago, there was some, like, whole video done.
Different Koch.
On how, like, Pete Eyre and Ademo and Ian and Mark were all funded by the Koch brothers.
Right, yeah.
And, like, basically all of these, sort of kind of first, mover activist types.
Right.
I was in Colorado. It was 10 years ago when I heard this, I was listening to it.
Well, here's the thing is that they definitely offer people to work for an hourly wage, knocking doors, and it's all funded by the Koch brothers, but it might be because they gave that money to a campaign like, say, friends that we know that are running in Free State, participants are running for office, and the Koch brothers are funding it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's who you're getting paid through. I mean, that's just how it is. I think if you have a moral aspect to it, okay, yeah, take their money, but don't work for a candidate you don't like. So, or if you're going to work for a candidate, like, only preach the things that you care about. And it's a little bit selling yourself out, but, that's all about money. Money is a motivator.
Ridley?
So I was planning to bring that up too, that they said that one of their main donors had threatened to withdraw funding if Jeremy remained on the board.
Right.
And I don't know, has Jeremy written something on Twitter or somewhere that you can quote that is really disturbing, from a freedom perspective or something? I've heard that he has, but
not that I've seen some of his stuff that, like, I mean, to an extent, much like we are here at Free Talk Live, to some extent, we're shock jocks, right? We say things that normal people go, right? That's kind of what we do here. And so to that extent, Jeremy Kaufman is, an online presence, right, that is sort of a shock jock. And he says things, and I don't know if he was in control of the FSP Twitter or not, but there were some rumblings about, oh my gosh, I can't believe he said that. You're not representing the Free State Project appropriately.
I'm not sure if this is exactly accurate, but I'm pretty sure that he, like, kind of pointed someone to make some posts, let's just say, and they did some posts that he didn't even like, possibly, and all these things that the Free State Project didn't like, so then it went haywire, and, Carla was upset that her account got deleted or, like, turned off on Twitter.
Right, yeah.
And it was all these different little nuances going on because of maybe not so smart actions, but, I mean, they got more attention from Jeremy than anybody else in the Free State Project. Carla, you're just jelly. You're just jealous. That's all it is.
Yeah, I mean,
well, when Carla's talking by herself or she's in a friendly environment or she's talking on her show with Tammy Simmons, she's actually very entertaining to listen to and very pithy, and she's a great activist. They're both great activists, and all of them said that all of the others were great activists, and they have the right to vote to take him off the board, but I just, I didn't, some of these quotes really bothered me.
Yeah.
It just ended up being sad. It's about money. I just, like, it blew my mind.
Yeah, and like one donor, right? Now, okay, maybe it's a bunch of money, but This is the reason that I don't like going into business with friends, right? You got some close friends.
Yeah.
I've never seen friends become enemies faster when there's like a couple million dollars on the table for you as like a startup company.
By the way, what's my $10? I'm just kidding.
What?
Where's my $10? You owe me $10. It's like, yeah, having like debts with people or like.
I do not owe you $10.
I'm just trying to make a joke about being business.
I don't owe you $10.
Yeah. So now we're not friends anymore.
So quickly things deteriorate.
This is Jeremy.
And the other thing is like, when they announced that, you know, FSP was becoming an incorporation and filing for. That was a Liberty Forum, I believe, 2014 when it was down in Nashua. Carlos says this, and I was the lonesome boo in the crowd. Everybody cheered, and I booed, and I was the only guy that booed, and a whole bunch of people, like, right after that, this was the, what do they call it, the State of the Free State Project speech at the very end of Liberty Forum,
yep.
And so I'm like, boo, because...
Oh, you were the only boo, Carla was the only boo.
No,
I'm trying to
misunderstand. She was presenting this, we're going to incorporate 501c3.
Okay.
Oh, God,
so,
really?
So, this was 2014.
Yeah.
And... because they wanted to
almost a decade ago.
It's to get, like, you know, the big money donors that are looking for write-offs, and the write-off's real easy, and, you know, it's all about the write-off, to where, like, if you donate to, like, the Shire Free Church, you're going to have a difficult time, like, claiming that as a write-off versus donating to a registered 501c3 nonprofit.
Right.
But what happens when it becomes, when you ask the government for a benefit, it becomes a creature of the government. Now, when you go beg the state via their application for a whatever, you know, a corporation application, so it's a New Hampshire corporation, I'm assuming, and then this New Hampshire corporation is asking for a 501c3 status from the IRS. You're like, you know, please IRS, give me this special privilege to, you know, accept all this money from, you know, whoever. Like, I right then and there, that like kind of like hurt my feelings. I was upset about that.
Yeah, they're begging for curious.
Right.
Yeah. And I feel like the most perverted thing that the government does to us is force us to register a church with the state. Like, no, it's supposed to be separation of church and state. Why do I have to register my church with the state?
Yeah.
I mean, and are they forcing you with how?
Absolutely, they're threatening you constantly,
you know, for these benefits. Yeah. You know,
if your organization is not for profit, then you shouldn't be required to do anything. In my opinion.
And even if it is for profit, you shouldn't be required to do anything. I mean, the profit is quite literally described in the Constitution as pursuit of happiness, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean, what if your profit was money? So it's like, they can't take away your profit.
A man has a right to make a profit to feed and clothe his family. A group of men have a right to make a profit to, you know, do these things. These are inherent rights we have. But the purpose of engaging in a corporation, of incorporating like Enron and Exxon and, you know, all these massive corporations, what they do is they incorporate for the purpose of privatizing their profits and socializing their losses. So like when, you know, let's say Exxon Mobil has a massive oil spill because one of their tankers, you know, breaks open somewhere for whatever reason. Does then anybody
you hit up Ian for Bitcoin? I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Does anybody from Exxon Mobil go to jail? You know, stay after school for a detention? Do they lose any of their personal money? No. What happens is Exxon Mobil probably has some shell company that owns that particular tanker that did that damage. That's like, oh, the only asset it has is this, you know, one vehicle or whatever. So and basically what happens is the taxpayers end up paying for all of this. And you know,
there's reserves too, that just like tap into whenever they want when these things occur.
Sure, like the Superfund, you know, account, and you know, but you know, the individual doesn't get any of those protections or benefits. And then you have a lot of like, you know, let's say Joe's Bakery. Well, Joe's lawyer says, hey, you need to incorporate for tax purposes and taxation benefits and blah blah blah. So those little incorporations, you know, happen too for sort of a different reason. But yeah, this whole corporation thing, I don't like the idea that government even you know, grants corporations.
Yeah, I'm curious. Like, do you know how like there's monks that make that brew beer and they sell it?
No.
There's beer you can buy at the store. It's brewed by monks.
Yeah, the monks were amongst the first, historically speaking, to brew beer. amongst the first.
Are they registered businesses? Or are they just like, oh, this is like our church practices that we brew beer?
Yeah.
I'm sure the ATF gives them a really good reason to be a registered business.
Yeah, guns in their face.
Well, that's what they do. They'll just come kill you.
Yep.
If you're going to try to sell alcohol, right? Then brew alcohol and sell it and market it. You know?
Wait, didn't they add something to their acronym? Didn't they add, like, E or so? Oh, explosives. That's what it is. Alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives.
Yeah, well.
So yeah. They're regulating Taco Bell now?
Very explosive. Very explosive indeed. You know, I don't know about you guys, but like when I'm on the road doing a road trip or something and I have to, take a dump, right, for lack of a better way to describe that.
Sure.
I always stop at Taco Bell and use their bathroom because the way I figure it, they owe me one.
That and you know they flush, like those toilets can flush. They made sure of it.
Ridley?
Well, there's this saying, you know, by their grievances shall ye know them, right? And so if this is my strongest grievance against the Free State Project, is they had some quotes I didn't like, and they fired a guy from the board, and they once wouldn't let Ian come to Porkfest for a while. I mean, after 20 years of existing, it could be a lot worse. They still pull people to New Hampshire. They still have a good Porkfest. They still have a good Liberty Forum. So, you know, it could be a lot worse. But, you know, there were two other things that I noticed in this thing. Like, for instance, like during the siege of Mostar in Bosnia, the Bosnian army insisted on bringing in reporters, which, like, to me, that was a huge clue that they were probably in the right in this particular part of the war. And, it was kind of the same way with Jeremy. He said, you know, I insist on having this, you know, this conversation broadcast, right? And they were reluctant to have it broadcast. Again, when the one who wants transparency is usually going to be closer to the one who's in the right. And that was just the final observation.
It's funny you bring that up because Sorens had made a post saying this video will be removed soon. And guess what I did? I downloaded it.
Ah.
Yeah, it was up on Odyssey. And
I have it downloaded.
And a couple of other places, like, instantaneously.
Actually, there was another thing about it, too. They kept bleeping out the names of people while they were talking. Like, there was some, they would go back in and edit out so-and-so, beep, accused you of beep, you know, they didn't bleep out the second part, but it's like, wait a minute, no, what, why, wait, why? So, but on the other hand, they did upload it, and they uploaded it on Jeremy's old platform. So isn't that weird? It's so many. It's all incestuous now, I guess.
Now it's on the blockchain. Yeah. I mean, now Sorens.
Like, I'm with you, Dave, as far as, like, yeah, the drama is the drama, and, I mean, you can't get a group of people together of any size without some sort of drama happening at some point. So, like, that's to be expected. You know, I still respect the Free State Project as a movement and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I'm still going to Pork Fest, even though I've got my issues with them as an organization. So I think you're right. I think they're good far outweighs the bad. It's just that when I watched that video, I was like, I ain't got time for this.
Well, there's a new director for Porkfest next year.
Yeah, I know.
So that might be good news.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'd like to throw in one little thing about Jeremy, Jeremy Kaufman. I can tell you firsthand knowledge that I have that he is an excellent family man.
Yes.
And he is an awesome dad.
He's freaking hilarious, too, man. Well, I mean, he's got a sense of humor.
So I work with his kids. His kids are, you know, within the age range of my kids.
Yep.
And they play together and they hang out.
Nice.
When my kids hang out with the Kaufman kids, my son and my daughter, they come back, you know, with more like pleasantries and politeness. His sons, you know, he's got a little girl that's, you know, very young. She doesn't talk yet, but his sons are. They're good boys. They're polite. They're respectful. They follow instructions very well. In fact,
nice.
His oldest son at 5 years old did blacksmithing at Porkfest.
Nice.
And that kid
was that part of man camp.
Yeah, he did man camp at Porkfest, and he made a coat hook. He forged it out of iron, and he focused really good. He just followed instructions, you know, really well. Now, it wasn't the first time, you know, him and I had worked together. Yeah. It was the first time we blacksmithed together, but we've done other things. So he's sure. comfortable with me. But it just, my observation of his children show that he has an A+ for a dad rating as far as I'm concerned. And
that's high praise.
Yeah, yeah. And I pay attention a lot to, you know, a lot of these kids. There are some kids that, you know, my kids hang out with them and, you know, they're like have backed up a little bit, digressed. You know, when they spend a day with them, they kind of, you know, start doing some bratty things or some nonsense or... You know, maybe they'll use a cuss word, and but like that definitely doesn't happen when they hang out with Jeremy's kids. So I'm glad that Jeremy's actually not, dealing with the FSP anymore because now he just has more time to be a dad, which I think is priority number one.
And, you know, arguably more freedom to do, well, other things. I mean, if being a part of the FSP board was, you know, his form of activism, in addition to, you know, founding Odyssey and Library and that kind of a thing, now he has more freedom to do what he wants to do as far as activism is concerned, and he doesn't have to worry about, you know, appealing to this other set of people he can just go out and do now.
And I want to thank Jeremy for, you know, taking a round at being the director of Free State Project. And, you know, his wife Rachel was for a while.
Yep.
He did a great job, actually, I think.
I think that's a difficult position to be in. I think no matter what you do, somebody's not going to be happy with you because it is an organization that is so large. You know, does anybody like really like raise their hand and say, me, I want to do that? From what I understand, he's like, well, okay, my wife's been doing it and, you know, I'm kind of helping. He just was like, I'll take one for the team, guys.
Yeah.
That kind of seems what it's like to be the director of any of these.
But you know what this is an illustration of? And I think it's useful for us at Free Talk Live to point this out. Many, many people in the United States refer to politicians as leaders. They're not. These are not leaders. You don't look to these people to lead you or your children or
lead us into war,
like that, right? But what you're saying, what you're describing with Jeremy Kaufman is leadership. Right.
Yeah, he's a good leader.
He decided to. He said, "I'm going to put this on my shoulders. I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to lead by example, right? And see what I can
and
do."
And then what happens? I get arrested.
Well, you know, but that's the difference. Like politicians are not leaders. Politicians are bureaucrats.
They're supposed to be public servants, is what they're supposed to be.
I mean, the reason I have court at the end of the month is because I had to support my boy Jeremy Kaufman, so I call them Jew haters.
Wow. Ridley, any final words?
Not much. Got a letter from Ian this week, and it was not super substantial, but he indicated that he'd received my mail and asked me what's going on in the report, and I encourage people to send mail to Ian.
Excellent. Thank you for the call, Mr. Ridley. You can find out more about David Ridley over at RidleyReport.com. The telephone number here is 603-283-6160. Stick around. Hour number 3 of Free Talk Live is coming up.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.